The biggest games.
Recky for three, got it to go.
The most compelling stories.
Three of the former players said sons were on this particular Monroe team.
The area's best high school sports coverage.
Throws it down with two hands, the whole hoop is shaking.
That's a 10. That's a 10, baby.
This is Zimbrick Honda's presentation of Prep Mania on 100.5 ESPN, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.
This is Zimbrick Honda's presentation of Prep Mania. I'm Hunter Vaughn, and of course, I'm here with the Dean of Area High School Sports, Dennis Sumrau. As for over 50 years, Zimbrick Honda has provided the Madison area with quality Honda vehicles. The trusted staff of Zimbrick Honda's used car dealership will save you time and reduce your car buying stress by finding the vehicle that matches your style. If you're in the market for a new Honda or a used Honda, visit Zimbrick Honda in Madison today or online at ZimbrickHonda.com. Dennis, it was a big day for the WIAA. They had their annual meeting up in Stevens Point today, and there were three constitutional amendments or rule changes that were on the table. First up was an amendment that would allow schools to use resources and coaches to conduct developmental programs during the school year outside their designated sports season for eighth grade and below. That one passed 381-9. The second one was an amendment to allow schools who that believes the wrong player was identified to be ejected from a game. If there's video replay, they can then submit that within 24 hours. That was approved 387-1.
No-brainer.
Yeah.
who's the one? I want to know who the one is.
Who's the one that was
it's
against
like, who's
that?
The one that doesn't vote for the Hall of Fame when it's like
exactly.
Six people don't vote? Who are they?
Yeah.
Right.
And then the final one, the big one. NIL in high school sports in Wisconsin. That one was denied 219-170. So we won't have NIL in the WIAA, at least for this next year. But I feel like this was a really good step forward and progressive step for the WIAA to at least try and get out in front of everything and be ready whenever NIL finally actually happens and start those conversations.
Yeah, it went through the Sports Advisory Committee, the Advisory Council, the Board of Control, and then the membership said no. And I think just what we've talked about here the last couple of weeks, too many unanswered questions. And one was, if you're an athlete, you can't use your school colors, the sport, anything identifying the school. You can't use equipment. You can't do something at the stadium or in the gym or whatever. And as Andy Alexander from Stilton pointed out, that's one thing that, how does that benefit the student then? And I think, one, congrats to the WIAA for being proactive.
Yes,
yeah. Now,
absolutely.
Some might say, well, there's 30 other states that have done it. This is something they have been talking about for a while. It didn't just happen. And when you look at how it's laid out on what their restrictions are, it was well thought out. It's just that I think they're going to have a few more things answered. There were a couple of comments made during the open forum about we asked for questions and said, well, we'll get back to you on it. And, yeah, we've got some people in line that will help you through it, but I think you have to have all the I's dotted and the T's crossed. Not maybe a few left. They wanted 100%.
Yeah,
I figured the smaller schools are the ones that would probably be shooting it down.
And I think, too, it's the sense that I got from watching the meeting, and we're going to be having Jeremy Schlitz, the Madison City Athletic Director, on a little bit later on in the program to kind of talk about his thoughts on it. He was up in Stevens Point with this meeting, and it felt like, although no one specifically really said it, they don't want to see what's going on at the college level come to the high school level.
That's correct. And then every state's done something probably a little bit different, and they've got 31 states that they can go back and get some pointers from and have some questions answered, which is, I think, some of the questions that were answered in, what was it, they had a seminar or something earlier in the week. They had met, I think.
Virtually, they had met to kind of talk through some of those questions.
Questions for people. So they did their due diligence as far as they could.
but I think it has to go probably a little bit farther. It's something that's going to happen. It's inevitable. And do you want the legislature or a lawsuit to force it? No, if the WIA puts it in, they can control the message. They can control what's happening with it, which is smart. I mean, you want to be in charge of it. But you just hope that now the legislature's not going to, now we got to jump on this thing. No, I think you got to look and see the work that the WIA has done, the committees have done, and say, okay, what steps are left to sell this? So this will be back, and I'm sure it'll be voted on again a year from now at the next meeting, because if they have to tweak or questions they have to have answered, then it's going to have to go back through everything once again this year, all those committees, and it was approved the first time around, so I don't see that being shot down anything. Yeah. I think it's going to get through again next April. So now it's the next 360 some days, the selling of how can we sell this to the schools that said no. So they have to reach out to the ones, okay, who said no, why? What can we do to fix that? What can we do so we can get this thing passed?
Yeah, and it's again, you know, I feel like a lot of times, whether it's at the high school level with the WIAA or we talk about the professional level and the NFL, everybody wants to be upset at these governing bodies and they want to just knock them down for anything that they do wrong. And I'm not saying the WIAA is perfect in any sense, but I really am happy that they took the step forward to start talking about it. And now we know where the state stands and now we can move forward and we can try to figure this out to make it work for everyone.
And again, people say WIAA, they think it's this monolith up there in Stevens Point that's making all these decisions. No, it's the membership. If the membership voted yes, with the next publication of the newsletter, which is the third, fourth week of May, when that hit, this would have gone into play because the member schools wanted it. Now it's the WIAA's job to enforce the rules, to come up and to educate people and educate schools about here's what you can do and what you can't do. But again, it is the member schools that have asked for it and have now, some have said, no, not enough have asked for it. Or it's not quite right. So, it's kind of waiting for that. Everybody I talked to a bunch of athletic directors that were against it, but they thought it might pass.
Yeah, and one of the people that I feel like we got the sense might thought that this was going to pass today was Stephanie Hauser, the executive director of the WIAA. We're going to hear from her next, as you and Alex Strofe spoke to her earlier in the week. So this was before the vote, but I still, to get her perspective on it, because we know it hasn't changed, even though this was denied. Again, we also have Jeremy Schlitz, the City of Madison athletic director, Tim DeCora, PE teacher and advocate for mental health at Wanakee High School, will be joining the program. Lincoln Myers, outstanding volleyball and track athlete from Vel Phillips Memorial, who's representing Team USA for the U19 boys volleyball. And finally, one of our new coaches in our new coaches series, Dan Prawl, the new head coach for Milton football, all joining the program later on, as this is Zimbrick Honda's presentation of Prep Mania on 100.5 ESPN and the ESPN app.
Zimbrikonda's presentation of Prep Mania rolls on right here on ESPN Madison. He is the Dean of Area High School Sports, the legendary Dennis Semrau. Alex Strofe with you from the Everlight Solar Studio in downtown Madison. Always a pleasure when we get to catch up with the executive director of the WIA, the great Stephanie Hauser, joins us now on Prep Mania. Stephanie, it's about every year we get to catch up on everything, and Dennis and I spend plenty of time on some of the stuff coming up this week at the annual meeting. I joked before we pressed record, it's going to be a quiet week for you there up in Stevens Point.
We're going to have a few visitors here in Stevens Point this week, and the weather looks to be great, so come on up.
What are you most looking forward to for Wednesday? Is it seeing the familiar faces? Is it discussing some of the hot button topics? I mean, what's the most exciting part for you at the annual meeting?
For me personally, it's just seeing the membership process play out. You know, this is the beauty of belonging to an association and being part of a membership. Members have their voice and they have their opportunity to come in and have a say on what they want the future to look like. And so truly, I think that's the biggest part for me that I enjoy. But then, yeah, the relationships and seeing everybody face to face instead of through a phone call or through emails, pretty special as well.
Hey, you also get to emphasize the fact that the WIAA is the membership. People tend to think, oh, it's these people up in Stevens Point making all these decisions. But no, you are representing the membership with rules and keeping, you know, keeping things kind of on track. So is it hard to kind of remind people of that, that, yes, you 500 and some schools are the WIAA?
Dennis, you're right. It's probably the biggest misconception about how the WIAA operates. It truly is a member-driven service organization. And so you're spot on. It is indeed the membership's voice that gets to make those big decisions at the annual meeting each year. And then it is the duty of this WIAA leadership staff to carry that out and to facilitate those decisions as smoothly as possible.
Stephanie Hauser with us here on Zimbrick Honda's Prep Mania. I guess let's address the elephant in the room, Stephanie. The NIL discussion has certainly been roaring over the course of the last week or so. We saw, you've done a couple media appearances discussing the NIL. My first question on this would be, why now is this the time to bring it up, bring it to the board this upcoming Wednesday? Why is April of 2024 the time to officially start the conversation at the very least with NIL?
At the high school level, the high school association level, it's been pretty talked about for about the last 4 years. And as you've watched the growing number of associations that have added that NIL language, you know, Wisconsin has kept a close watch on it. We've asked our membership at each of the area meetings in the fall for the past 3 years. We've done a mentee poll to see where they stand on it. Year one, an area meeting, it was definitely a majority said, no way, keep it out of Wisconsin. A minority said, yes. Year two, it was pretty balanced. And now this last fall, we saw the scale tip the other way, where more of our members are saying, we do want to explore the addition of this language at the high school level. And so we felt that that was a good indication. It was time to ask the board if they also support moving it to the membership for a vote, and the board agreed that it is also time. There are 31 other state associations right now that have already added NIL language at the high school level, and we are one of 9 associations with it up for a vote right now. So you could be looking at 40 associations with the language here in the next month.
Very interesting, Stephanie. And on that note, what have you learned in some of your research and conversations from the 31 other organizations and states that have implemented some sort of NIL process or rules? What has your biggest takeaway been from some of the other states that are within this?
Well, the biggest takeaway for everybody at the high school level is that there's an assumption that it is pay to play, like you see at the college level. And obviously we all saw what happened this last week, you know, right here in our home state with the Badger basketball team, and everybody thinks that's what the high school NIL is. It's not. It's completely different. It is truly just allowing a student athlete to use their own name, image, and likeness, to do some advertising, to have some personal gain. Collectives will not be allowed at the high school level, and that's probably the biggest key difference that people will see that will prevent some of what you see happening at the college level. High school will still have the undue influence recruiting rules that will be not allowed. And so, again, there are some major differences that will allow us to hold on to what we believe is the beauty of high school athletics. And so I think that those are the things that you're going to see, the main differences. People hear NIL and they immediately equate it to the college level. But if you take the time to really read through what the language is the membership will be voting on Wednesday, you'll see that it is indeed a very different proposal than what you're seeing at that next level.
Yeah, Stephanie, I think the one of the things I know Mel Dow was quoted in saying that this kind of creates an even playing field because, for example, someone in the performing arts, there are no restrictions on what they can do to use those kind of activities. It just sort of been athletics has been the one that has been, no, you can't do anything. And I see a few things, though, kind of, you know, my concern is what's going to happen in the smaller communities that have a limited amount of money to support their sports. Now, are they going to lose that to individual athletes? Has that been discussed?
Absolutely. And it is a concern of the membership. We've heard that. Now, what I can share with you is the realities of the data being collected across the nation is it is so few and far between that a student athlete is actually getting said deal, like you're suggesting. Really, that's not the reality of what we're seeing across the nation. We're seeing instead kids who are now being allowed to go work at a basketball camp, and the basketball camp can use that student's name, image, and likeness to promote the basketball camp. So the reality of deals are going to be for just those that are so elite. And those are very, like you said, very few and far between. So it's not the reality of what we're seeing at the high school level at this time. And the second piece, I would say that businesses will have to look at what their marketing people are telling them. Do they really feel that it is more marketable for them as a business in a small community to fund your school and your athletic department, or to pick one single athlete and put money into that? That's a question businesses will have to ask themselves.
Well, too, and I think part of the restrictions you have are you cannot use the school likeness, image, logos, uniforms, equipment, things like that. That kind of takes some of that out of the picture then.
It does. And that's for the student-athlete's protection as well. You know, once you start using someone else's markings to promote yourself and you're getting personal gain, at what point does that other entities say, well, where's our piece of the deal? You know, so it is for that student athlete's protection, but it's also to keep it as simple as it can be. Student athlete gets to use their own name, their own image, and their own likeness. As you said, Dennis, just like any other student in that high school would be able to do.
It's fantastic. We always learn something talking to Stephanie Hauser, the executive director of the WIAA, with us here on Zimbraconda's Prep Mania. Stephanie, I want to ask you about the brand new ad hoc committee that studies season length, game maximums, and coaching contact. I saw the first meeting was last week for that committee. What have you seen from that? Obviously, just one meeting in the books, but it seems like they are talking about some of those. I mentioned the term hot button topics earlier, such as contact days and game maximums. How has that come about, and how is that going so far?
It was a great first meeting, incredible leaders in the room with the student athlete at the core of the discussion. As we went around the room and each committee member from across the state shared their hopes and fears that will come out of this committee, one of the hopes that I heard over and over was the word balance being used. They want to help find balance for student athletes, those kids that are multiple sport athletes, the families that are stretched in all kinds of directions, trying to find the best possible schedule that helps a student athlete feel like they are physically and mentally at their best, allows school districts to have kids who are multiple sport athletes, allows a family to maybe take a little vacation time in the summer. But again, at the same time, allowing those high school coaches feel like they have enough time with their student athletes to help them be the best they can be. So finding that balance is going to be the goal. Exciting first meeting. Really, truly, it was more of a getting to know you, helping them better understand what the task is that they've got before them, mm-hmm. and start to look at a timeline for their work. Again, a group of individuals who really care about the student athlete, and that came through loud and clear in their first meeting.
That's awesome.
Yeah, Kate was at our Wisconsin Basketball Coaches Association board meeting. I'm a part of the board. And one of the points discussed was the basketball coaches would like to see June 1 to July 31st open contact with maybe a week off around the 4th of July. But as Kate mentioned, she said, this is for all sports. Everybody's got some kind of a different angle. How difficult is that with maybe some sports want more time, some want less contact. And right now it isn't, like, I guess, across the board the same for everybody.
And I think that's why this group is going to be so important. Each coach's association, you know, they're all looking through their own lens. But sometimes it's easy to forget that, you know, your neighbor down the road is looking through the baseball coach's lens, you know, is looking through the volleyball coach's lens. And some of these student athletes are playing multiple sports. So this committee is going to strive to find that balance. They are going to ask for coaches' association's input. That is going to be taken into consideration. And remember, it is an ad hoc committee. They alone don't get to make these decisions. They'll make recommendations that will either go to the Board of Control or to the full membership. If those are constitutional changes, then it will go to the full membership vote, you know, potentially as early as next April.
I got to ask you about the shot clock. We talked about that yesterday and understand it's going to be a few years. You think it's going to happen eventually?
Well, I think everybody thinks it's going to happen eventually. It's a matter of how it's going to come about. Is it going to be through a membership vote voluntarily, or will it ultimately become a national federation rule of the game in which all state associations who haven't adopted it then adopt it? So I think it's going to come one way or the other. I just don't know when and how that's exactly going to look. But remember, after the last time this discussion was had across the state,
right,
the membership did vote into constitutional rule that any mandated non-NFHS rule of game would have to be voted on by the entire membership. And at this time, the National Federation hasn't made the shot clock a rule of the game. Therefore, this would have to be an all-member vote.
Hmm. Also because it's a cost factor too, right? With the cost.
Right. Right.
I know that was one of the changes.
No doubt.
I'll ask you quickly about the girls wrestling, how much that's mushroomed over the last couple of years. And could you see the day when the boys and girls are going to have to split up because it's too big for one site?
I do. I think that's going to come. At the rate of growth that's happening right now, I think it'll probably come sooner than later. We saw the numbers grow from just a little over 400 to just a little over 700, and I believe this year we broke the 1600 barrier, not barrier, but mark. You know, wow. It keeps on growing. So the wrestling coaches did meet, and they've made some additional proposals that the board will consider at their June meeting. They're looking at potentially adding now a regional round of competition, again, because the number of girls and the quality of wrestling has grown so much. That first year, guys, when we were at the Lacrosse Center launching that first state championship, it was a non-qualifying event. Any girl that wanted to wrestle in it could. We had some girls that really didn't even know how to put their headgear on at that first January. And 2 years later, we're already looking at not only having added a sectional competition, but now potentially a regional qualifier as well.
Wow. I know this year is the first year for lacrosse. I hear across the country, flag football for girls. Is that a possibility in Wisconsin?
The Flag Football Girls Initiative has been largely spearheaded by the National Federation. By the NFL. So that's been an NFL initiative in partnership with the National Federation of High Schools. It is growing quickly. Right now in Wisconsin, we've seen a fairly small geographic region, which is right around the Green Bay area, that have added girls club flag football. We are in continual conversation with the NFL offices about, you know, what that would look like. For the WIAA to sanction a new sport like we did recently with girls wrestling and girls and boys lacrosse, it would be about 5% of the membership that has, you know, has asked us to sanction it, and then 10% of the membership to offer a state championship. So we're looking at between, you know, 20 to 30 schools with interest and a little over 50 schools that says we have the sport of girls flag football and we'd want it sanctioned. We're not hearing a lot of chatter about that yet, but I don't see that one going away either. I do think we're going to hear more and more about girls flag.
You know, Verona High School hosted like an invitational a couple of weeks ago here. So that's why it's looks like it's coming in our area here in the Madison area.
Okay, good. Good. We're always looking for new ways for kids to connect with their schools. And if there's a new program that intrigues new kids, that's exciting.
That's why what you do is so important. Yes. Stephanie Hauser, the executive director of the WIA. It's always a pleasure to catch up with you, Stephanie. Thanks so much for the time.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate the opportunity.
We'll roll on next. It's Zimperconda's presentation of Prep Mania right here on ESPN Madison.
Zimperconda's presentation of Prep Mania continues on as now we're joined by Jeremy Schlitz, the City of Madison Athletic Director. Jeremy, you were up in Stevens Point for the vote on NIL at the WIAA annual meeting. Just take us through kind of what the meeting was like, as well as the kind of general sense and your thoughts on this vote for NIL coming to Wisconsin.
Yeah, I mean, it was actually a great venue and meeting. There was a new space for it, and I think it was a good engaging spot, which I think was important. You know, one of the obviously the most probably high visibility topic that came out was, you know, NIL and what that might mean for education-based athletics. And it's been a busy couple of weeks as people have tried to understand more about the implications and what it really means to bring NIL into our education-based athletics landscape. So I thought it was a great meeting. I really appreciate the WIA staff and all the member school participants that kind of shared their positions on not only NIL, but all the other topics that we try to work through to make sure we give our kids that best high school experience.
Number one, proactive. It's good to see the WIA being proactive in something like this. Two, what's it going to take to get it passed?
Yeah, I mean, I think they were really close. I think, you know, when you borrow different pieces of things that have just started, you know, you got to figure out how it works specific to Wisconsin. Wisconsin's unique as a high school athletics landscape compared to each of the 50 different states. And I think, you know, because it came to this annual meeting vote, there are people that now have to realize how close it is with where the vote was. And let's figure out a way to make sure we can do it the right way if we decide to introduce the option for NIL to high school athletics. I think, for me, I'd love to see the school be able to be a partner with our students and families to make sure that they're not being taken advantage of by bad actors or things that kind of erode the foundation of what we like out of amateur sport, whether that's some financial literacy items, education around how to promote appropriately, do contracts, things that parallel what we do for the post-high school options for all of our students, and to be able to do that for our co-curricular students, too, is something I'd really love to see added to that, along with making sure we understand not only like the statute of limitations and time frame related to those that can and cannot participate and support students in NIL, but what it means for groups like a Rotary or a Chamber of Commerce or a Foundation for Madison Public Schools, where all of their members would not be able to support an NIL deal for an individual the way it was originally written because they are supporting our schools as a whole. So how do we navigate and kind of thread the needle to make sure we aren't taking away the financial support that we get from our community members and students to the whole 99% of our athletes just to be able to provide an opportunity for 1% of our athletes to stay high school athletes and access name, image, and likeness money?
Yeah, I think it was Andy Alexander made the point about there's no ties to the school. You can't have the school colors, the uniform, the equipment. Can't say Panthers if it's Oregon or Spartans if it's Memorial. And I maybe some concern about, well, wait a minute, then what is it for the business, for example, that can't say so-and-so's from whatever school?
Yeah, and I think that, you know, that is important, but it is also, we got to probably find a middle ground where if this is something that we want to see high school student athletes accessing, we need to make sure that we find ways that businesses can do it and also promote and help stay on brand with what it means to be a high school athlete.
I agree. Yeah. Again, it's kids first. And I'm excited in some ways for student athletes. Both my kids competed in sports in high school to have opportunities. But, again, the right way. And your thoughts, the city, everybody pretty much on the same page?
Yeah, you know, it was a good discussion amongst our four schools' athletic directors. And, you know, I think what we really landed on is how do we do this in what our mission is to provide our kids an opportunity to be, you know, college, career, community ready. This needs to be part of it. When you take the school out of the equation and it's not education-based athletics if we can't educate them about all things around athletics. So I think we were in support of moving towards NIL as we realized the potentially unfortunate inevitability that we no longer have the amateur sport we once knew, but being able to do it in such a way that still supports what we're trying to do for all the kids.
Again, we're joined by Jeremy Schlitz, the City of Madison Athletic Director. Now, what's the next step now that this was denied at the WIAA annual meeting to have NIL at the high school level for Wisconsin? What do you do next now as an athletic director? What does the city do? And what are we going to be doing moving forward now?
Yeah, I think, you know, the time is now to have these continued conversations while the interest in it is high. Get feedback from our community partners, get feedback from businesses, get feedback from our kids and families, and make sure we kind of understand the perceptions they have of what this might mean and the impacts that it might have, and then provide that feedback to the WIA as they kind of probably retool the way that they will propose the rule in the future and be part of that ongoing conversation and get our other colleagues and peers that are athletic directors to do that. I'm fortunate enough to be our Wisconsin Athletic Director Association mentor coordinator. This will be a topic that we'll talk about as a monthly topic, you know, leading up to the next annual meeting of, all right, what do we need to know? How do we prepare so we're not being reactive but being proactive to the change that we're probably going to have to face here soon?
So this will be part of the meetings in the fall, right, when the schools get together or the districts get together. And
yeah, I would assume the area meeting, this will be a topic number 1A, I would guess.
And then it has to go back through all the committees again, doesn't it? Whatever gets retooled.
Yeah, I see this probably going through that WIA, you know, amendment to the Constitution and bylaws is really the only way to institute it. I'm hopeful that other outside actors would be patient and let it work through the process and understand that we're all trying to do what's right for our local communities and schools. And I really do think there's an appetite for the WIA members to be able to have input in the way that this gets enacted. And I'm hoping we can find a common ground where everybody feels like it's not only amenable, but also enforceable, being an additional duty that we're putting on to all the athletic directors or school administrators to manage related to their students' eligibility.
So go everything, and we'll be at this point next year, vote again?
I would guess that's probably what we need to do and make sure everybody, we get all perspectives there and find a way forward.
Awesome. Thanks, Jeremy.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Jeremy. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Again, thank you to Jeremy Schlitz, the City of Madison Athletic Director. Coming up next on Zimbrick Honda's presentation of Prep Mania, Alex Strofe and Dennis Sumrow spoke with Tim DeCora, PE teacher and advocate for mental health from Wanakee High School. As you're listening to Zimbrick Honda's presentation of Prep Mania on ESPN Madison, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.
Moving on, it is Zimbrick Honda's presentation of Prep Mania with you on your Wednesday night right here at 100.5 ESPN, the ESPN app, and available for free commercial-free on Wisconsin On Demand or wherever you get your podcasts. Alongside the Dean of Area High School Sports, the legendary Dennis Sumrow, I'm Alex Strofe with you from the Everlight Solar Studio in downtown Madison. Excited to be joined now by Tim DeCora, who's a Phi Ed and health teacher in the Wanakee School District, also a mental health advocate, keynote speaker, doing amazing stuff across the state and in the area. Tim, thanks so much for joining us today. How are you?
Oh, man, I'm doing good. Love talking sports and anything related to sports. So, yeah, awesome. Glad to be on.
Yeah, we're happy to have you. And you know, Tim, this is a pre-recorded conversation. We're recording on Monday, and we were talking a little bit off the air. But I mentioned you're a mental health advocate and doing amazing things in that space and talking vulnerability and why mental health is so important as a teacher and a coach. And you mentioned you were just over in Hartford giving a presentation over there. Tell us a little bit about that and how you got started in this.
Oh, probably about 6-7 months ago at the beginning of the school year. I have a mental health coaching friend of mine, Ben Hoffman. He played at Platteville. He came along probably 2-3 years after I had graduated from UW-Platteville. That's where I got my degree and played basketball down there. And Ben came in a couple of years after, and he's been in coaching and teaching for, a lot of years now as well. And he called me and saw that I was doing some things with mental health, and he thought be a good way to find out what I'm doing. And lo and behold, he got me to come and speak to their teaching staff this morning about mental health, and not only from the teaching standpoint, but also what their students and athletes might go through, and then shared some of the things that I do to promote mental health and some of the things that I do to also take care of my own mental health, and just sharing some of the information and strategies that can help somebody going through difficult times.
Yeah, Tim, you're a state champion, a national champion. You know, you played at the Wisconsin Dells, and you played for Bo. You have a lot of success as a multiple student athlete. I know you almost played football for George Chris down there. That would have been the legendary coach, you know, Paul's dad. When did you discuss, you know, have you had issues going back to, you know, a lot of successful athletes, you see this vision of success, but behind the scenes, a lot of struggles. I know the Badgers had a basketball player a number of years ago that had some issues that came to light, and he's been an advocate for a while for this.
I think some of the stuff that I struggled with, fearful of failure, wanting to please coaches, teachers, I think played a huge role in my success as a student athlete in high school, and then certainly on to college. But when those things, those drive and that don't fight, put up a fight, and that competitive nature, when you don't have anywhere for that to go and that's still there, you got to find some place for it to go. And for almost all of my 32 years of teaching, I struggle at times with my mental health, in particular anxiety, and I didn't have any way to get rid of it, control it, cope with it. And as the years wore on, I succumbed before I was able to get some help and some answers to questions. And really the big question is I need help. What do I need to do to help with my anxiety and how to control things. And fortunately with some professional help, I was able to do that. And now I'm out there, talking about my survival through childhood, adolescence, into adulthood, pretty much surviving on a daily basis to now the last probably 858 days is what I counted this morning of thriving. And I've had the best 858 days of my life, and it's been really going well.
Tim DeCora with us, a teacher at One, a key mental health advocate, keynote speaker on Prep Mania. Alex Shroff, Dennis Semrau with you. And Tim, you mentioned that 858 days. And I know something that you've done that Mike Lucas profiled a couple of years back in the Cap Times is that you rate every day on a scale from 1 to 10. And it always seems like you're 9.5 and above over the course of those 858 days. Why is that something you do? And what makes that so crucial to your thriving?
I would have to say that I can attribute it to a couple of things. The big thing when I wake up is I get into some journaling about the goals I have for myself for the day. How am I feeling when I woke up? And then part of that also is some of the things that I'm really grateful for in my life. And I start my day out journaling. And then I also do, I've been doing quite a bit of reading just about some coping techniques, thoughts, positive thoughts, affirmations. And I do a lot of that writing in the morning when I wake up. So I start my day writing down some good thoughts. 859 days ago, the thoughts in my head were worry, fear, morbid reflection, a lot of things from the past, a lot of things from the future. And when I tend to do the journaling in the morning, I get myself present. I'm here right now, and I write those things down. And some of the goals that I have each day, because I like to win, I keep them simple. I check them off at the end of the day. And those goals point me in the right direction of having some faith, having some things that are important, having some plans for the day, and I tend to accomplish a lot more throughout my days, weeks, months, and like you referenced, 850 plus days of 9.5 or higher. I mentioned to the group in Hartford this morning, I said the 858 days before that, I don't know if I ever had a day much over 5 or 6. And there were certainly days that should have been 9.5s that I couldn't find. The best thing about those days, I was worried about other things and my thoughts. And I no longer have to be in that thought process. But yeah, journaling has been a huge part of my life.
Being a coach and a teacher, you understand the pressures, and now this is something that we've talked a little bit about, that coaches really strive. You're thinking of your student athletes. You have three outstanding student athletes in your own family, Emily, Will, and Sam. I believe I covered all three at Wanakee, correct?
Yes, you did.
And a proud dad and your wife, Sarah, and you've got a great family, but behind the scenes, people, and you realize as a coach, the pressures of when the days of the multiple sport coaches and 30, 40-year coaches are gone, because all it takes is one parent, one school board member, something to go wrong. How big is it now to get the message out to coaches that, hey, you're not alone. You really need to face this head on.
Yeah, there's such the nice thing about that. Coaching is it's a fraternity, it's a brotherhood, and a lot of times we're so busy having our priorities. I know I can say this for myself, that a lot of years I had my priorities were rearranged. I had teaching and coaching as number one and number two, and then my family and other things and my faith. My faith often took a back seat, and certainly my mental health was in the back seat as well. And I thought that being a better teacher and a better coach would solve everything. And for me, that hasn't been the case. When I flipped my priorities around and I put my faith at number one, I put my mental health at number two, family, my job, et cetera, et cetera. And then coaching and teaching in the back seat. My coaching and teaching has gotten extremely, it's the best. I mean, I can't believe I'm saying this, but I'm retiring in June. When I'm on the top of my game, I love coming to school. I love our students. I love the classes I teach. But that's all because I did something back on December 16th of 2021. I asked for help for something I had no idea how to control, how to cope with. And I started to get some strategies that I could use, breathing techniques, journaling, positive thoughts, self-talk, things that I wasn't doing before. And then really the other thing I got was a diagnosis of a generalized anxiety disorder that now I knew what I had to fix. I think for a long, long time, I was just accidentally doing things well, where now, once I knew what I had to fix, what I had to work on, I could start to work on it. And like I mentioned, and you mentioned earlier, I've been thriving ever since. And I want to share that with parents, teachers, coaches, athletes, colleagues, best friends. I want to share this gift I've been given with the rest of the world.
It's really awesome, Tim, and we're appreciative of you sharing your perspective and your story. It really is inspiring and just awesome to hear. Tim DeCora with us here on Prep Mania. Alex Drove, Dennis Semrau with you. Just want to quickly pivot, because we keep mentioning you played at UW-Platteville. You won a national championship with now Hall of Famer head coach Bo Ryan, announced a couple weeks ago. Tim, your former head coach, headed to the basketball Hall of Fame. I imagine your thought is, like a lot of ours in Madison, long overdue and super well-deserved for Bo Ryan.
I have been pushing for that probably for about the last 10, 15 years. The guy's got four national titles. He took the Badgers to the Final Four back-to-back years, took us to the title game. He's got a tremendous amount of wins, and I don't know what else a guy could do to get in, but I was so happy. I got a text message from his son, Will Ryan, on that Saturday morning of the Final Four, said that, hey, tune it in to ESPN2, and there it was. He was on, and I sent the text back, did he get in? Does this mean he got in? And he said yes, and I've been on the phone with him probably once every 2 or 3 days, trying to organize a group of Platteville guys to go out to Springfield, Massachusetts, and hotels and tickets. And I quickly went on and got some really, really nice tickets for my wife and I. And I can't wait for the day he gets announced, inducted into the Hall of Fame. he's going in with a ridiculous group of guys too: Jerry West, Doug Collins, Michael Cooper, Vince Carter, Chauncey Billups. I mean, it's crazy. And then you drop in Bo Ryan. Mm-hmm. I couldn't be more proud for the guy as a former player, and now I best friend of the guy. I'm just so proud of him.
What's your takeaway from your time with Bo? What did he teach you? You're coming in as your high school star, and as he mentioned, you were a reserve on the first of his championship teams. He said you could have started for a lot of teams in the WI. It was the WSUC back then, right?
Yep.
Right back then, those days. You were just a key reserve off the bench. What's your takeaway from Bo?
Well, you know, that's the funny thing with this mental health stuff. I wish I would have taken and applied my time with Coach to, you know, essentially to my mental health. Have a plan, have a purpose, have a mission. And you can succeed. Yeah, you can succeed at everything. He had such a blueprint for winning, and his blueprint was not only a successful offense and defense. He also had what made his program elite was his ability to get along with all of his players, whether you were a starter, a reserve, or a manager. He somehow could make you feel like you were a starter, or you were one of the MVPs of the team. He had that ability to do that, and that extended beyond you. He knew who your aunt and uncle was. He knew who your parents were, your high school coach. And that's one of the things I've admired about him, is he has that knack to remember everybody he meets. Which I've heard from people that have met him once that they felt like they played for him after they met him. So his ability to be able to relate and then develop relationships with his players is second to none. And that's something that I learned from him that I still use today, which is why I have a lot of friends in teaching, coaching, et cetera, that have remained friends since the first time I met him. And that's something that I learned from Coach, that's important.
Tim, really enjoyed the conversation today. Tim DeCora from Wanakee School District. Really appreciate the time, my friend. This was great.
Thank you very much, guys. You guys are doing a great job down there, and I can't thank you enough for getting me on today. So you guys take care. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Hunter Vaughn and Dennis Semra have you the rest of the way right here on Zipraconda's presentation of Prep Mania.
Zimbraconda's presentation of Prep Mania continues on. I'm Hunter Vaughn. Here with me, the Dean of Area High School Sports, Dennis Sumrau. And Dennis, earlier this week, the WIAA, along with all of the news now today with some of the changes and non-changes with no NIL coming this year to the state of Wisconsin for high school athletics, they announced their Scholar Athlete Awards, and we had three athletes who won that award this year.
First of all, from Division IV, 32 student athletes, four boys and four girls in each of four divisions, were selected. 17 of the 32 that were selected have grade point averages of 4.0, and the average grade point, when you put them all together, is 3.9, and the average sports is 10.
Wow.
You talk about, and we haven't added the spring sports in yet. This is presented before.
Just fall and winter.
Just the fall and winter and their first 3 years of high school. Their recipients are going to be honored on Sunday, May 5th at Century World in Stevens Point. Joe Delagrave, a two-time Paralympic medalist and current head coach of the U.S. wheelchair rugby team, will be the keynote speaker. And we have three from the area. The first one is Alana Dirtshe, I believe, from Albany High School. First in her class academically, she's got 11 letters in three sports, basketball, softball, and volleyball. So she's still got a softball season going on right now.
Comets won the state championship her senior year, the first one in school history. And she received all conference honors as the league's MVP the last 2 years. Softball, they were state runner-up in 2021. And she's all conference. She says, juggling academic studies with a busy schedule is tough. Taught me the importance of hard work and perseverance. Learned that sports can be temporary, so I make sure I apply the same level of determination to academics. She's going to attend University of Wisconsin La Crosse and study education. There's a future teacher coach. And yes, she is the valedictorian of her senior class.
So a lot of things that I never was. Valedictorian, actually a good student. Very impressive for Alana. This is Zimbrick Honda's presentation of Prep Mania. Also brought to you by Stoughton Health, which provides trusted care close to home. They're proud to support all of the area's student athletes and wish them all the best this season from rehab to ortho care. Stoughton Health provides comfort and convenience locally. Visit stoughtonhealth.com to learn more. And then another one of the winners of the WIAA Scholar Athlete Award, somebody who we talked to back in the fall from McFarland High School, Ava Dean, winning the award.
Yeah, she's got a cumulative 3.97 grade point, 10 letters in volleyball, basketball, and soccer, three-time conference champion in soccer. The team won the state championship her freshman year. Volleyball conference co-player of the year, first team All-State. They went to state. And in her junior year in basketball, they went to state. It's incredible. Part of two-time state qualifying volleyball team. An honorable mention All-State in basketball this year. She said that the process is what people don't see. The most demanding part is why integrity has been a value I have developed and will continue to use in the future. She's advanced her time management skills, learning how to be productive. And, school is important, just like her work ethic. She will attend Wisconsin to study business, real estate, and urban land economics. Fantastic student athlete. And right now, I said, maybe I'll see you at state in soccer this year. She said, I hope so.
Yeah, Ava Dean, it feels like she basically just lives at the state tournament games at this point because of all of the sports that she continually gets to. And like I said, she was one of our UW Credit Union Student Athletes of the Week earlier in the season. And one of the most just well-spoken, yeah, just a great athlete, a great role model. We talk about it all the time with that McFarland squad. You know, she's teammates with Tegan Mullaney, yeah, who's going, yeah, to Iowa. And those girls, they have so many young girls who are looking up to them in the McFarland area. And Ava Dean, just a great example of not only is she great on the field and on the court, she's also amazing in the classroom.
Yeah, not going to compete in a sport in college. I'm sure she'll do some intramurals and some other things. But school will be first. And she just had a tremendous career. And the best thing about having a spring sports senior year is that senioritis can kick in pretty early.
Yeah.
And my daughter played softball her senior year all through high school. And she said, yeah, if it wouldn't been for softball, those last couple of months would have been tough. And I talked to Ava earlier this week. And she will be a guest here closing out the school year for us.
Looking forward to that one. And then we have one final area athlete, a male athlete, and one that you and I were on the call for as he brought home a gold ball at Camp Randall in the Division IV state championship game, the quarterback of the Lodi Blue Devils, Mason Lane.
Yeah, he was the team and conference player of the year in football. Of course, they won state, the second title for Lodi under Coach Dave Pulse, who retired. What a retirement present, right? To win the state, get the gold ball.
Yeah, that's a pretty good one. Better than a gold watch, go get the gold ball.
And coached his son, and of course, his son being a senior, Mason was like a son, because when you coach, if your kid's playing, those are all your guys or all your girls, mm-hmm, you're coaching the girls. Beyond the gridiron, he qualified for the state wrestling tournament the last 2 years, conference player of the year, or wrestler of the year as a senior, and all conference in baseball as a junior, so that's going on right now. He is going to be attending Wisconsin to study business and a preferred walk-on. He said, one of the most valuable lessons I learned is that even if you do everything right, things may not go as planned. I spent years training to be a wrestling state champion and fell short, but he got a football state title, so I'll take that. one out of two.
Yeah,
that's
a pretty good consolation.
What I've realized is not only about the end result, but about the entire journey and the process that allowed me to compete at that level. I always say it's, yeah, oh, the gold ball. No, it's the locker room time, the bus trips. It's getting there. And you talk to professional athletes, what do they miss? That's what they miss, the camaraderie. And Mason has had a great time. When he was, when Lodi won their first title, he was one of the ball boys.
So I asked him coming down that tunnel as a senior. He goes, oh, man, the feeling. So congrats to our three local ones, Alana and Ava and Mason. And it is student-athlete, not athlete-student. And if you're successful in the classroom, you got a pretty good chance of being successful on the field, too. So
yeah, it's almost like work ethic kind of transcends whatever it is you're doing. Again, congratulations to Mason Lane of Lodi, Ava Dean of McFarland, and Alana Durchy of Albany, the three local WIAA Scholar Athlete Award winners this year from this Madison area. As this is Zimbrick Honda's presentation of Prep Mania. We'll continue on as we talk to Lincoln Myers. He's going to be competing with Team USA in the U19 boys volleyball team. Is this the first time we've had somebody who's going to be wearing red, white, and blue on Prep Mania, at least in a while?
In a while, we've had some that have competed in basketball and in other sports as well. But, yeah, he's going to be one of 20 players selected for their training camp. Hopefully he'll be one of 12 getting to compete in Puerto Rico. But once you get invited to that 20, even if you don't make it, and he's only a sophomore, you got to think about it.
Yep, and only played for two years.
For 2 years, so the sky's the limit. Almost 6'9". Mom says he's 6'9". He says he's 6'8¾". But he is a tremendous force on the court. It's going to be fun watching him the next 2 years. He's also a high jumper. 6'2" right now is his best, but I got a feeling he's going to have a shot to get to state in the next couple of years, too, in that sport.
He definitely will. So, again, we'll have Lincoln Myers of Vel Phillips Memorial High School coming up next. And coming up a little bit later on, we will talk to Dan Prawl, the new head coach for the Milton Redhawks, as he was over at Janesville Parker last year.
He's an Oregon grad. He coached at Stoughton. Now he's at Milton. He's back in the Badger Conference.
Yes.
That's great.
Back where he belongs in the Badger Conference, indeed. All that coming up here on Zimbrick Honda's presentation of Prep Mania. This is Zimbrick Honda's presentation of Prep Mania. I'm Hunter Vaughn. Here with me, the Dean of Area High School Sports, Dennis Summerow. And now we're joined by Lincoln Myers, volleyball and track athlete, but going to be representing Team USA in the U19 boys volleyball team. So congratulations on that first, Lincoln.
Thank you. It's really exciting.
So how does that process, you know, normally when Dennis and I are talking to student athletes, they're, you know, it's football, soccer, that kind of stuff, and they're just playing for their school and their local community. What was the process for you even being considered and then getting to this Team USA level?
For being considered, there's this camp that you get recruited for called NTDP, stands for National Team Development Program. Oh, sorry, National Training Development Program. And from there, it's pretty much a tryout of a bunch of really good kids from all over the country. And from that is how they choose the kids for this team and everything.
And so you're one of 20 that were selected.
Correct.
Yep. Yeah. And then now you're going to be having, May 3rd that you get to go to Anaheim? And that's where they have a practice, whatever, getting ready for Puerto Rico games?
Yep, it's May 3rd through May 11th in Anaheim. The 20 of us will be all practicing together, but not all 20 will be going to Puerto Rico. I'm pretty sure it's only they'll be choosing 12 of people to go play.
But just you're a sophomore, so just to be considered to make it this first step, even if you don't make the 12, I mean, that's still a pretty big honor for a guy that you've only been playing 2 years. Is that true?
Yeah,
that's incredible.
My first year was school season last fall. Well, the fall a year ago, my freshman year.
Yeah. So how did you get into volleyball? Is this something your family is big into, or was it just I'm tall and I guess I'll try this?
It was a lot of the I'm tall and I guess I'll try this, but there's a little bit of family influence in it too, since both my sisters play volleyball as their sport. I just needed something as a fall sport during school season.
And I understand your mom played too, right?
Yeah. Yeah, she did. She played at Memorial when she went there.
Right, and your dad, Bobby, played football for the Badgers, also was a track athlete. I know you're a high jumper. Is that where you get that from, your dad?
Yep, it was mostly his idea for me to do high jump.
What do you like about that? What do you like about the track season and high jump? I know I like track because it's, especially at state, you get all different levels. There's something for everybody, and it's boys and girls all together.
Yeah. What I really like about it is that it's individual, so I can just take care of my own stuff and know that it won't have any like negative impacts on the others as much as like volleyball would say. Because if I do bad in volleyball, it will most likely drag my whole team down and cost us the game. But track's also great because I just get to hang around with all my teammates when I'm not competing directly.
Yeah, and you, I guess you threw the discus, what, a year ago, too?
Yeah, I did discus last year. I wasn't the greatest at it, so this year I'm just doing high jump.
Well, too, you belong to the Milwaukee Sting, so that from the club program. So you got a couple of road trips every week? You're back and forth to Milwaukee to practice with the guys?
Yeah, it's about an hour, 20-minute drive, two nights a week. It's kind of hard to get homework done at the same time, but I find a way to make it work.
Excellent.
People who maybe don't know, you know, you're listed as being a opposite hitter and a middle blocker. You know, unlike, again, like football or basketball, where people kind of know the positions, can you describe like what your role is when you're out there on the court and, you know, what both of those positions do?
Well, both of those positions, they don't do much passing at all unless they're like at the beginning of the game in serve receive. Neither of the positions are in the passing in the back row. They're either like the right opposite hitter, it's pushed back, or the middle will always be up at the net. But primarily, the middle is all about blocking. That's their big role, is to get up there, be a big block with either their outside or opposite, wherever the ball is on the other side. And the opposite, their main role is also blocking too, just shutting down the outside as their primary swing most of the time.
What do you like the most about volleyball? What's attracted to the sport now? Helped you kind of develop a passion for it?
I just find it really fun, especially since at most of the tournaments, everyone's really friendly, especially like even if you just beat a team, they'll still be all nice with you and chat with you after the game, before the game. And it's all very like tight with your team because that's the whole sport. You have to have a good connection with your teammates. Otherwise, you won't do too well.
We're joined by Lincoln Meyer, boys volleyball player from Madison Memorial High School, here on Zimbraconda's Prep Mania. Is there anything that you guys as a team, you guys do to try and build some of that connection off the floor?
Oh, yeah. We hang out a lot of the a lot after practice. I think a couple of times we went to Vitens just to play some mini golf, or just back to someone's house to hang out together.
That's the social. That's the best part, isn't it? The social aspect.
Mm-hmm.
Who's your favorite athlete, any sport?
I like Giannis. Giannis Antetokounmpo. I don't know how to pronounce his last name.
Nobody does. It's okay.
So I'm sure the basketball coaches have tried to recruit you, but did you play at all? I mean, a little bit, and it just didn't take? Volleyball is just more attractive?
I stopped playing basketball, I think, sixth grade. Otherwise, I played it up till then. I wasn't the greatest, and it just wasn't the most fun to me.
And sports,
I couldn't really shoot.
Yeah, sports is supposed to be fun, too, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I know with being in your sophomore year, maybe college isn't quite fully on your radar yet, but any thoughts or plans to what you're going to be doing after high school?
Yeah, I've thought about it a little bit. I haven't thought about like where I'd like to go or anything, or like what I'd like to major, but I'd love to play volleyball in college, definitely.
And that's a sport that's growing. I mean, there's a lot of hotbeds around, and now especially with the Pac-10, with the schools coming to Pac-12, the UCLA's, USC's, and whatever. And Wisconsin doesn't have a team there, but a lot of other options out there, aren't there?
Yeah, there are. There's a lot on the West Coast and East Coast. There's a couple in the Midwest, but most of the teams are pretty good.
What's your favorite food? What's your favorite comfort food. You got a bad day. What's mom going to make for you?
Really, just waffles, like chocolate chip waffles. They're pretty good. Probably my favorite to eat.
Do you have a favorite, like a pregame meal, or what's your a kind of ritual before your matches?
It is not a very healthy option, but I don't know. I normally have like a bag of candy, just some kind in my bag before I go to a volleyball tournament or practice.
Well, what's your go-to candy? What's your favorite?
I like watermelon Sour Patch Kids or Swedish Fish.
Ooh, there's a couple.
They're just, I don't know. they're very sweet and sour, too, same time.
Okay.
There's a lot about them.
So you got to make sure you got your bag packed right. You got to have your treats in there with you?
Yeah, I got to make sure. If not, might not be the greatest day.
Who's your biggest rival?
Yeah, I'd most likely say Middleton. We haven't beat them once, and they're probably the best in our conference, both the last 2 years and most likely this upcoming year too.
But your mom was telling me you play the club volleyball with some of the Middleton guys.
Yeah, last year majority of my team were all guys from Middleton. Like Caden Van Buren, he started this year. He's really good, and he's on my team again this year too, along with our setter, Bryce Dushin. He should start next year for Middleton, and he was on my club team both years.
That's pretty cool. That's kind of an interesting dynamic, isn't it? Your rivals and your friends. Do you guys have any bragging rights? Well, you said you haven't beaten Middleton yet, so I'm sure that's probably in the horizon for you.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping to do. I'm hoping to beat them this next year. If we don't, it may be a little disappointing, but at least I'll be able to get a play against my friends. That's always fun.
Your mom said that you've actually played in some tournaments. You were in Puerto Rico for a tournament? Is that right?
Yeah, we were in Puerto Rico during the beginning of spring break. We played up an age group in the 17s.
And what was that whole experience like?
Oh, it was much different than volleyball here. Here, they use their middles a lot. In Puerto Rico, I think they ran their middle three times against us out of all the teams we played. And it was a three-day tournament. We played like seven games, so not a lot. And their pin hitters were really big, and they fling the ball from pin to pin just constantly. It was super quick. Much faster than here.
Speaking of big, Mom says you're about 6'9", but you don't like to say you're 6'9". She said you're like 6'8 and three quarters or something. Is that kind of a family thing?
Yeah, it's her at home measurements. She likes me. She wants me to say 6'9", but until the doctor says so, I'm sticking with 6'8".
Well, you know, in her defense, that'll maybe help with those scholarship numbers if they're seeing the 6'9" number there.
Yeah, it probably would.
Awesome. Well, thanks for the time. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, you're welcome.
All right, that was Lincoln Myers, volleyball and track athlete for Madison Memorial, and good luck with the U19 USA men's volleyball team coming up here in a couple of weeks, Lincoln.
Thank you.
Zimbraconda's presentation of Prep Mania continues next, right here on ESPN Madison. Zimbraconda's presentation of Prep Mania rolls on as we continue our new coaches series. Dennis Sumrow, I'm Hunter Vaughn, as we have Dan Prawl, the new head coach for Milton football. Now, Dan, before we get into things here, I just want to make sure that I have all the places you've kind of stopped here correct. So you're an alumni of the Oregon Panthers. You played for your dad, who's a Hall of Fame coach, correct?
Yes.
Well,
yes.
All right. You went to college at UW-Whitewater, won a couple of national titles, and coached under Lance Leipold.
Correct.
And then you also coached under Pat Rice at Wanakee as well,
yep.
Correct? Okay.
Student went from there, and then I student taught at Wanakee, and that was the Pat Rice stop.
Okay. So you've had three incredible coaches. Who taught you the most about coaching?
I'd have to say my dad. My dad, because he made that look so easy for the 27 years he did it with four boys and, staying married with my mom and her having a job and just all the stuff he did behind the scenes like, I just, that's where I truly learned it. That's where I fell in love with it. You know, part of my playground was growing up on the practice fields. And so when, you know, getting invited to that, or the, my Sunday mornings would consist of the coaches being down in our living room and breaking down the VHS tape before they'd exchange it or after the exchange. And so definitely started with him. And then I would say everything that Lance and Pat Rice have done, I mean, they just, they took it to a next level. And obviously those guys are where they are for a reason. And I got a lot of respect for both, all three of those coaches.
Well, Dan, you and Pat are pretty similar. Pat's dad, Bill, was the president of the Coaches Association. He was one of my mentors when I started this job. You know, he had four boys, and you look at you know, growing up in a household with football. Were you diagramming plays, Pat? Said when he was like 8 years old, he was doing it. What's your earliest remember about being on the sidelines with your dad?
Oh, gosh, just learning how to put a sideline jacket on. And, you know, that I didn't have much weight or height at the time, so when the wind would catch me, I'd go face first, straight on the ground. And players just reach down, pick the jacket up, and I'd be in it. So, but, yeah, the Rice family's great. You know, drawing plays on napkins, all your holiday events. I mean, you can just, yeah, the random plays you find everywhere, but. Yeah, it's good. A lot of good knowledge, especially in that Rice family.
When you were coaching the first time around here with Stoughton, obviously that was kind of fun. Your the I-38 rivalry, Highway 138, back and forth, and then you left basically for a teaching job, math teaching,
yep,
in Florida. How was that, the whole experience? Different, you know, different climate, different setting. Things are a lot different down south.
Yes, it was awesome. School was 7 to 2:20. Every Wednesday, we'd get out at 1:20. Football went all first semester. Taught math, and then I was coaching long jump down there as well. And then track would finish, and then we had spring ball. And spring ball started up when Wisconsin was starting their track. And then spring ball ends. That's a solid month down there. Another 15 to 20 practices. And then you're into the summer. And, you know, my wife at the time had an opportunity to come back. And so she started her business out in Monroe. And so I'm here in Janesville or Milton now. And that's kind of why we came back. But the culture, the climate, oh, love the sun. I miss the sun. So we're getting some nice days here with the, like, 12 plus hours of sunlight.
Now, is the football down there any different from Wisconsin compared to Florida? You know, most of the time we talk to coaches who have always been in Wisconsin. They played, they've coached here. But since you've had the opportunity to go somewhere else in a completely different state, is the football that they play down there any different from up here?
Some. I would say Florida, for the most part, has more dudes, more athletes, and the coaches down there just kind of let them be. Try to just get them the ball, so not as easier to scheme, if you will. Up here, coaches kind of make you think you might not have as many Jimmys and Joes, so you gotta work a little harder to put them in a position, or pre-snap movement, rolling your secondary, stuff like that. But I'd say I had more chess matches up here with coaching staffs than I did down there. Down there, if I got beat, it was just because we couldn't block the 6'5", 280-pound DN.
Well, too, I know down south, it's remember the Auburn basketball coach going one time, there's only two sports in the South, football and spring football.
Yeah, I love the fact that it was football year round. I mean, the kids have so many opportunities down there. It is crazy, like the Wild Wild West, in terms of recruiting your own roster, because like a kid could play football at St. Cloud. And then if he wanted, he could go to Harmony, which is like 5 miles down the road, run track, and then finish up his spring at Lake Toho up the road there and do baseball or track. So, like, it's crazy how you can jump school to school to school, but not too many kids will do that, but they do follow successful programs down there. That makes sense. More kids will jump around.
Yeah. Now, you're coming over to Milton from Janesville Parker, and I always like to ask coaches as they're coming into a new program. I know you haven't probably gotten to spend a whole lot of time with the guys for this Milton team, but for people who don't know you, how would you define this team, or what are your expectations for when you see Milton football? This is what's going to define us.
That's a great question, and I'm going to say we're going to be able to play tough defense. Like, so in your point, you hear Milton football, you're going to think tough defense. We're going to be able to run the football, and our guys, like, we have great support staff. We got a great strength and conditioning program, Coach Kilgora, Coach McCarty that run it, Coach Spivak being our AD, Bill Horn, our principal, that all support everything we're doing there. And so I feel really good. We got a lot of pieces in place. Our staff's excited. We started meeting every other week right now. And yeah, I mean, we're getting close. And so Milton football, tough defense, run the ball, and we're going to compete. Up 21, down 21, whatever the score is, we're going to compete.
Things are a little different, too, for you up here now. The conference realignment. Now, Milton is going to be in the Badger Large with Oregon, but no Stoughton. No crossovers.
That's all right. We'll take Oregon. No, I know. The Badger Large, now, it is interesting how much our conference has kept changing here, but Badger Large is no joke. No weeks off. You know, I think Fort Atkinson enrollment-wise is the smallest. We're right there. And then, you know, Oregon, MG, Sun Prairie East, West, Defoe, Wanakee. I mean, you got to take that thing 1 week at a time. And, yeah, I think there's going to be plenty of rivals in our schedule still.
They're going to be voting on the NIL for the high schools here on Wednesday. And your thoughts? Well, you were down in Florida. Like you said, kids are bouncing back and forth.
Yeah.
What do you think? College, you got the portal and all this other stuff. High school level, is that going to really hit here, do you think? Or how do you think the state's going to be able to deal with that?
I don't know. That's, I was trying to get my head around it with college and try to help our senior athletes that want to go to the next level so I can give them a decent foundation of knowledge. But yeah, if this comes to high school, I don't know. I don't know how that looks. I don't know if that's a lot of like family restaurants hooking up breakfast and stuff for linemen or what, but it's, I don't know. It's interesting. So I'll leave it at that. I got to educate myself on it, but, I did not think it would come to high school this fast.
I'm Hunter Vaughn here with Dennis Summerow and joined by the new Milton head coach, Dan Prowl, who comes over from Janesville Parker. With this potential of NIL, and I know you said, not completely sure how everything is going to work, do you feel like you might have to just bring somebody else in onto your staff to kind of help handle that so you can still take care of the X's and O's and everything else that already comes with being a head football coach?
Yes. Great question. Great point. And I think a lot of programs like offer online type stuff, or some of these online programs just offer that, like Next Gen Stats maybe, or, maybe Huddle comes up with a new app now that comes out with something. But yeah, I think to me and this has to be bigger than just me. Like, this is going to be our community all getting involved in educating themselves, because I don't just want any incoming freshman, or you're about to be a senior, you just sign your name on something, and then you're screwed for a couple years or something. So I want to make sure everybody knows really what they're doing. And, if it's what's best for our student athletes, great. Then I'm all for it.
What are you looking forward to most now getting back in as a head coach, after being out of Parker for a couple of years? What did you miss?
I did miss a lot of our coaches here in the Badger. Coach Beckwith is a great man. Also learned a lot from him, good mentor. Coach Kiston was my coach. I was really looking forward to Coach Rice, but congrats to Coach Graverson. I met him at the clinic. Looking forward to him. Coach Kaminsky at East is phenomenal. We practiced with those guys last year. So I'm That's what I miss the most, I guess, Dennis, is the relationships. Because these guys understand it's more to life than just football, teaching these guys how to be great young men. Now, yeah, at the end of the day, Friday night, everybody wants to beat everybody because we're all competitors. But, again, we understand there's more to life than football. And so that's what I love about this conference. And I'm excited for the Badger Large.
Are you teaching at Milton?
Yes, sir.
And what do you teach?
Algebra.
Algebra, that's right. Okay. I know you said math, and I was hoping that's what you got there. So,
yeah.
I'm a stats guy, so math is my favorite. So that's awesome.
I'm not a math guy at all.
Hey, they never lie to you. The numbers never lie.
Statistics do, but not numbers.
Yeah. Well, if you enter the fields wrong on huddle, then they're lying to us all the time.
Again, this was head coach Dan Prowl taking over at Milton High School. Thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate your time, and we look forward to seeing you and Milton this season.
Absolutely. Thank you for all you guys do, and go Redhawks.
Dennis Summerow and I will wrap up Zimbrick Honda's presentation of Prep Mania next on ESPN Madison, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand. Wrapping up on Zimbrick Honda's presentation of Prep Mania, I'm Hunter Vaughn with the Dean of Area High School Sports, Dennis Summerow. Stoughton Health provides trusted care close to home. They're proud to support all of the area's student athletes and wish them all the best this season, from rehab to ortho care. Stoughton Health provides comfort and convenience locally. Visit stoughtonhealth.com to learn more. Dennis, as we have a couple of minutes here, we wrap up things on Zimbrick Honda's Prep Mania. NFL draft starting tomorrow night. Couple of Badgers who we expect to probably be taken maybe Friday night, early Saturday, that third, fourth round, and Braylon Allen from Fond du Lac, and then Tanner Bordellini from Kewaunee up near Door County as well. So a couple of Wisconsin guys expected to go in the draft. And Braylon wasn't a guy where you covered all of his games being up in Fond du Lac, but he was such a good high school athlete. Figured, why not talk about him here on Zimbrick Honda's Prep Mania? And you had some fun just talking about him the years that he was in high school.
Well, I graduated from St. Lawrence Seminary in Mount Calvary, which is right near Fond du Lac. Yep. We played Springs. I've got a lot of friends up in that area. They told me about this kid, freshman, sophomore year, stud defensive player. And with the pandemic, the spring of his junior year, they played, you know, that alternate fall season, and he got a shot at running back. So Braylon runs for over 1,100 yards, averages like 12 yards a carry. It was an amazing number. And for Associated Press, we did a fall team for the teams that played on All-State team, and then we did one in the spring. And when we nominate players, put them in a Google Docs, and everybody looks, and then we vote. Todd Sommerfeld from La Crosse goes, Dennis, we got three guys that ran for 1,000 yards this spring, and they're not on the ballot. I said, well, we got to take care of that. And he said, one of them's Braylon Allen. I go, he's a defensive back, right? And then we realized, oh, yeah, but he'd been running back, and that was his first shot. And we end up, okay, let's get him on the ballot. He ended up being first team on defense, first team on offense, and he was our player of the year. And by the way, the player of the year in the fall was Hunter Waller. Which
oh,
was
another guy Badger fans know
which,
a little bit.
Which, and they were supposed to be roommates and going to be defensive backs. But then we were doing a show with an interview with Braylon that spring. And guess what? That was the day Paul Chris said, you get to be running back here. And now, you know, he's going to be going in the NFL draft. He had to finish up a year of high school in the summer. I mean, he did 4 years of high school in 3 years. So he was a, when you talk about a student athlete, a very intelligent young guy. Not a lot of hits because he didn't start running the ball until his junior year, and then he had the 3 years here. So I know he's had some injury issues the last couple of years, but he's got a lot of miles left on him, and a great guy. And I'm hoping he goes as early as possible. You know, running backs are now devalued. I was reading something about the 10 worst draft picks of all time, and somebody took a running back number one. That ain't going to happen anymore, right?
No.
No more. But then, and then you look at Bordellini, yeah, there were some struggles at center, but he played all over the place. And you look at how he's graded out, that could be the next great Badger draft pick. So we'll see what happens. On draft day, you never know. I mean, the movie, enjoy the day. This is your one day, and it's only going to happen once. You're only going to get drafted once, and you just got to be ready for it. Remember, guys, we had from the Madison area over the years. Well, when we saw Jake Ferguson, I saw him for the first time and went, I saw him as a sophomore in high school and went, this guy's got the body, he's got the genes, he's going to be playing on Sunday someday. And now watching him, unfortunately, for the Dallas Cowboys.
Well, fortunately
for
me.
You, that's your team.
Yeah.
I'm a Packer fan, so I wish he was playing for the Packers because when he was out there, they needed a tight end. But Cowboys are smarter. They went after him, and he's having a good career. So we love it when our local guys get to go on that chase that dream at the next level. And both for Tanner and Braylon, they're going to get their name called. And it's going to be great.
Yeah, it's so fun when we see these guys who they come through the state of Wisconsin through high school. They still come down to Madison and play for the Badgers. And then you get to see them then go on to the next level. You get all of those levels of being able to cheer for them, even if they don't necessarily put on your favorite team's colors. There's always that little bit of you that cheers for the Watt brothers when they're playing.
Yeah, I got we've done the PA internal for the media and the press box for about 40 years. And every time I get to call a local guy, the guys say, hey, your voice kind of goes up a little bit. You know, there's a little pride there.
Exactly.
I mean, every year I look at the Badger roster, how many local guys from – how many guys from the state are on the roster? How many guys are from the Madison area, from our coverage area, newspaper and radio and television? And you take pride in that, of being a Badger, wanting to wear the Cardinal in white. And those are two players that have done a great job for us as Badgers, and now you wish them well and – they're going to chase their dream about playing on Sundays and Thursdays and Fridays.
on the weekends.
They play every day. Mondays, I mean, they play every day now. But we stay on any given Sunday, the movie, right, with Al Pacino, on any given Sunday. So here we go.
This is Zimbrick Honda's presentation of Prep Mania. As we wrap up, I want to just again say a huge thank you to everyone who joined the show this evening. Stephanie Hauser, executive director of the WIAA, talking about NIL and that coming to the state. And we spoke to her, you and Alex Strofe spoke to her earlier in the week as she was getting ready for this vote today that ended up denying NIL to come to the state, but just kind of her viewpoints on where things are going, as well as Jeremy Schlitz, the City of Madison athletic director, to talk about the vote itself and what happens next and his views and issues with the current proposal that came up for the WIAA annual meeting. Also had Tim DeCora, the PE teacher and advocate for mental health from Wanakee High School, and you know, some area scholar athletes winning awards as well this week. And a big thank you to Lincoln Myers from Vell Phillips, as well as Dan Prahl, the new head coach at Milton High School for football, as we continue our new coaches series. It was a jam-packed show, Dennis Summerow.
That was great, great time, and the baton has been passed.
It has.
Right, from Alex to you, so look forward to our shows the rest of the spring.
I am looking forward to it as well. This has been Zimbrick Honda's presentation of Prep Mania on ESPN Madison and the ESPN app.